This morning, if you have a Bible, turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis. And when you get there, let's look at verse 22. And I want to talk to you about the law of seed time and harvest. This is a series that we're doing in the church on biblical economics and stewardship. Listen to the scripture. It says, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Listen to this, please. It says, seed time and harvest shall not cease. I want to share with you today a powerful principle. It's called the law of seed time and harvest. And this law is one of the most important laws in scripture, because your harvest, ladies and gentlemen, in life depends entirely upon the seed you have sown. It's a law of life for the believer and for the unbeliever as well. What we are tomorrow depends on what you do today. Amen. And right now, you're making choices that will affect the rest of your life. Now, many of the parables that Jesus taught had to do with the sower, with the seed, with seed time and harvest. And God intends for every believer not just to understand this, but to operate in the law as well. My text is Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 to 29. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man should scatter seed in the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, this parable is not a lesson on biology. What Jesus is describing is the mystery behind the growth and the development of the seed. He's describing a cycle of harvest, but more importantly, he's explained to us what makes a seed germinate. He was also explaining to us a mystery of the kingdom of heaven, how the kingdom works. And if that seed is left to itself, if you put a seed, ladies and gentlemen, on the palm of your hand, or you put it on a tabletop, that seed will do nothing. Nothing will happen to it. It remains as it is. But the moment you plant that seed in the ground, it's buried in the ground, there is something about the ground that pulls on that seed, and the seed responds and germinates. How it happens, we do not know. It's a mystery. We don't question it. We just know it. And the conditions of the ground, of course, are vital in the development of the seed. Now, some time ago, there was an article about the discovery of a tomb of an ancient Egyptian king. The archaeologists were all excited. As they opened the tomb, they found it fairly undisturbed. But what got them excited was there was a jar of wheat, and it was something like 5,000 years old. It was intact in that very dry environment. So they took the seed and they carefully planted the wheat in the ground, 5,000 years old. They planted it in the ground, and out of that came a new strain of wheat that they had not known about. A couple of things that impresses me about the story is because basically it reinforces what Jesus said, that if a seed is not buried, it remains alone. But if it's buried, it produces a harvest. This is the basic principle of the kingdom of God. The seed has to be planted in the ground for it to die and bear fruit. Now, anything that refuses the process of death is not buried, remains isolated and alone. But if it's buried, it comes back in a different form and produces much life. This is, of course, explained to us in a parable of the sower. A single seed that falls on a good heart can produce 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Boy, that's massive returns on investment, amen? But everything depends on the ground, not the seed. The seed will always produce after its own kind. If you take a look at your life right now, your life is a sum total of the seed you have been sowing. And if you don't like the way your life is coming out or turning out, then maybe you have not been sowing. Or maybe you've been sowing on the wrong soil. Why do I say that? Because the seed is designed by God to produce a harvest. If you sow a negative seed, you will get a negative harvest. If you sow a positive seed, you'll get a positive harvest. Your giving are seeds. Each time you give with a good heart, with good motives, pure motives, I'm telling you, you're sowing something for your future. Your thoughts are seeds. Your words are seeds. Your actions are seeds. Every kind word, every kind deed, every gift you give with a joyful heart, what you're doing is you are sowing something for eternity. And God wants you to know that you can receive a harvest on every seed that you sow. Even your tears, the Bible says, are seed. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. Amen. Now, my words that I speak to you today are seeds. I'm planting a seed in your heart. I want to plant a seed in your heart. But we don't just sow seed over the pulpit. Every conversation is an opportunity for you to sow a seed. I was recently in Hong Kong with a dear pastor friend of mine. We were having lunch. I was telling him about the power of having Holy Communion on a daily basis. He listened intently to me, and I think he caught something in the spirit. He caught it. And a month later, I was in Hong Kong again. I met him again for lunch, dinner. And he said, Pastor Young, since the day you talked to me about Holy Communion, I've been having communion every single day. And I want to just tell you this. This is my testimony. My prayer life has exploded. The new things that are happening in my prayer life just because I listen to the word. And I'm telling you here today that you must not be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer of the word. Amen. Too many of us are hearers of the word. We hear. There's so much of the word. You know, Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 tells us that there is a day that's coming, that there's going to be a famine, not of food, not of wheat, but a famine of hearing the word of God. It's not a famine of the word. It's a famine of hearing the word. People hear, but they don't practice what they preach. They walk out of the church. And many of you today, I'm telling you, if you walk out of the church and you don't let the word sink into you, the devil is going to be right there at the door, and he's going to steal the word from you. He's going to steal the word, and it's going to make no difference to you, and you're going to walk out unchanged and untouched. Listen, you got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Amen. Amen. Come on. Satan comes to church every weekend. He's more faithful than all of us. He comes to church every week, and it's his job. His job is to steal the word the moment it's preached. He doesn't even wait for tomorrow. Amen. He's in church every weekend because he wants to steal the word. Why? Because he knows where the power is. The power is in the word, the seed that falls into the ground. If it dies and is buried, I'm telling you this, the potential of it being multiplied 100 times over, hallelujah. Once the seed takes root in you, he can't do anything about it. Once you have received the word, believed it and said, yes, Lord, this word is for me, and you are going to decide that you're going to do something about it, Satan no longer has power over it. There's no possibility of the word being stolen. After that, whatever happens to the seed totally depends on the condition of your heart. If there are thorns in your heart, if you are, you know, and I think too many Christians here in Singapore have too many cares of the world. Yeah, we do. We have so many cares. And what happens is that you have thorns and they choke the word, and the word cannot bring forth its harvest. You got to watch yourself, my friends. You got to have a rule of life in your own personal life. You got to make sure that your life is ordered according to the scripture. Too many of us have too many cares of the world. You got to simplify. Amen. If your heart is stony, in other words, there are rebellious areas of your heart, then the word cannot go deep. And the moment there's turbulence, it's adios amigo, man. I'm out of here. But when your heart is good and right, the seed cannot but bear fruit, and it will produce a harvest. This is the law of seed time and harvest. There are 5 laws of sowing. I want to quickly go through with you and then go expand on them in a few moments. Number one, you reap what you sow. Galatians 7 and 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. All right, you reap what you sow. Number two, you reap where you sow. It's vital to sow in the right field that will yield crop. I will expand on this in a few moments. Number three, you reap after you sow. You cannot expect to reap and sow at the same time. That's the wrong expectation. There is a need for you to have patience, because in due season, the Bible says, in due season, we will reap if we're not weary. Number four, you reap more than you sow. If you sow a seed, you don't just get a fruit. You get a harvest, and a harvest will always be more than, far more than what you invested. And number five, you reap where you have not sown. Now, this might seem like a contradiction to point number one, but it is not. I'll circle back to this in a few moments. So let's examine these 5 points in details. Number one, you reap where you sow. The text, of course, is Galatians 6 and verse 7 to 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, he will also reap. For if he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. Watch this. But he who sows to the Spirit, right, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The word for everlasting life is the word zoe. Zoe life. This is this very life of God. You will reap the very life of God within you. And let us not be weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This is an unchanging law that affects every one of us in every area of our lives, family, work, pleasure. Only a stupid farmer will plant a crop and not expect a harvest. He won't be in a farming business for long. If you sow, you sow in hope, you sow in expectation. I planted seeds 40 years ago. I'm so glad, ladies and gentlemen, I got saved early in my life. My wife and I, we got saved in our teenage years. I think she got saved much younger than me. But we got saved many years, and it allows us to sow many seeds in the course of our lives. Pray for your children that they get to know the Lord early in their lives. Amen. Amen. And I planted seeds many years ago, 40 years ago, that till today, I am still harvesting. Come on, hallelujah. And I'll sow till the day I die, because I don't just live for my generation. I'm living for the next generation. And I'll tell you this, Orchard Towers, we acquired it for the next generation so that our legacy can continue and your children will be blessed in this house. Amen. Understand what the seed is. A seed contains the DNA, the life, and the fruit of the species. It's all in that tiny seed. Seeds that aren't sown are seeds that will produce zero. Now, we understand from nature that everything brings forth after its kind. Genesis 1:24. We reproduce what we are, and what we are is dependent on our genealogy. It is true. And, of course, our environment as well. If you plant an apple seed, what do you get? You get an apple tree. An apple tree will produce apples, and no matter how hard the apple tree tries, it cannot produce pears. That's an unchangeable law of creation. So I can stand here and I can teach you and impart knowledge to you, but you can only be changed by what I am. I can only reproduce who I am. Let's not be naive about this. Amen. We reproduce who we are after our like kind. When you look at an acorn, what do you see? You see an acorn. What does God see? He sees an oak tree. He sees a forest of trees. And that's how we must see. We must have supersized lenses. Amen. And we must be able to intuit with optical precision what God wants to show us. Now, in the normal cycle of sowing and reaping, if you do not reap a harvest after you've sown, then there's something wrong. And you've got to ask yourself why. And oftentimes, it could be something is wrong with the ground. If you constantly sow a seed or sow seeds into a ground and does not produce a harvest, then it could be that the ground is barren. Okay? And a barren ground is often seen as a curse in the Bible. And if it's barren, then it needs to be healed, and only God can heal it. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will seek my face, pray and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Some of you have businesses that have been cursed by God. It's not been blessed because your finances are out of order. There's cheating. There's under table. I don't know what you do, but I'm telling you this in the name of Jesus. If you don't get your business in order, you will never be blessed. Because your business is barren. And you keep putting money into it and it doesn't produce anything because God has not blessed the land. Am I making sense? And you need to examine and say, Lord, what is it about my business that needs to be healed? Are my practices upright? Ladies and gentlemen, if your hands are clean, if your heart is pure, and you do what is right in the eyes of God, I'm telling you this, whatever you put your hands to do, God is going to bless. Come on. The problem is when we sow seed, and we do not reap anything, we don't ask questions. And that's not normal. I mean, which businessman would sow a seed to a venture fund and not expect some kind of dividend? How many of us have sowed tens of thousands of dollars in the kingdom without seeing any returns? And we don't even ask why. Listen, God does not rejoice in withholding what is rightfully yours. Come on. Yeah, hear what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Number two, you reap where you sow. I said last 2 weeks ago, I said this. I said you don't eat at McDonald's and pay at Burger King. You just don't sow anywhere. Sow where God has planted you. Sow where you're fed. Sow strategically. Here's a rule of thumb. My first 10% goes to the house of God. It goes to Cornerstone. It goes to the storehouse. that's automatically, I don't think about this, I give it joyfully, and it just goes 10% off the top, all right? Everything else that I give is considered an offering, and I have to be strategic in my giving. Now, whatever you sow into, you will reap, all right? If you sow into all your time in your work, you're there 18 hours a day, and you don't spend any time in the family, you cannot expect to reap in your family. Am I making sense to you? Right? If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you will reap eternal life. People say to me, Pastor, how do I sow in the spirit? What does it mean to sow in the spirit? I believe it means prayer. I believe it means a life of godliness. When you pray, you're sowing in the spirit. When you give, you're sowing in the spirit. When you fast, you're sowing in the spirit. When you witness, you're sowing in the spirit. When you worship, you're sowing in the spirit. And if you sow in the spirit, what does God promise you? He promises you eternal life. Hallelujah. Receiving life is very easy. I raise my hands. By faith, I receive salvation. And this Zoe life comes. It's maintaining the life. It's maintaining the life on a daily basis. And that's why you cannot afford to stop and miss your devotions. Every single day. Here's a good rule of thumb. It's a rule of life for me. First hour of the day is God's. First day of the week, it's God's. First time of the month, it's God's. And first consideration, every decision you make is God's. Hallelujah. If you do these four things, I guarantee you, your life will turn out well. Amen. That's sowing in the spirit. You never waste time when you pray, amen? You never waste time when you sow in the spirit. For FYI, all right, just for information, 10% of all our tithes, we skimmed right from the top, goes into global missions. Of that 10%, we give very strategically, 10% of that 10% goes to Israel. Because we believe the scripture, whoever blesses my people Israel, I will bless. Come on, amen. Number three, you reap after you sow. I hear people saying from time to time, you know, Pastor, I've sowed a financial seed, nothing happened. I didn't reap anything. Well, maybe it's because you gave up too early, too quickly. Paul said, let us not be weary of doing good. For in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. We have to wait for the due season to come. Patience is necessary when sowing. When a farmer plants a crop, ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't get up in the morning and then goes to the field and see if anything has happened to the seed. He doesn't do that. He plants in hope. He plants in anticipation. And he's patient. He waits for the rains to come. It will take time. It's a process. It's seed time and harvest. You plant a seed and it takes time for it to grow. And then you'll get your harvest. Here's an important scripture. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow. He who regards the clouds will not reap. One of the things about farming, ladies and gentlemen, is that no matter what the conditions are, if you don't sow, you will not reap. The problem with too many of us is we look at external circumstances and say, well, maybe this is not the right time. Maybe it's too difficult. I'll tell you this, if you don't take that bungee step of faith, you will never take that step of faith. How many opportunities have I missed because I looked at the clouds and I said, maybe this is not the right time. And I'm telling you this, how many God-given opportunities in your life have you missed because you looked at the clouds instead of looking at His face? And some of you have missed massive windows of opportunities in your life that has cost you up till today because you looked at external circumstances and it didn't seem to be very conducive. I tell you this, when it comes time to sow, sow. Sow, hallelujah. Sow as much as you can. Jesus himself said, lift up your eyes. Come on, my friends. Lift up your eyes. See with your spiritual eyes. The fields are already white for harvest. Amen. If you don't sow in the sowing season, you won't get a harvest, period. Now, sowing into the ground gives you drawing rights. The Bible says, do not be deceived. If you go around saying it doesn't work. I sowed seed, nothing happened. That's Satan trying to steal your harvest from you. If you sow a seed, believe that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If you sow a seed, stand on the word of God and believe that God is going to bless you and multiply the seed. Amen. You know, farmers aren't farmers by choice. You know that. Farmers aren't sowers by choice. That's what I meant. They don't rejoice in the sowing. Sowing is hard work, the plowing, it's hard work, my friends. Nobody rejoices in the sowing. They rejoice in the reaping. There's no sowing feast in the Bible. There's only reaping feast, the harvest feast. They celebrate the harvest. When a farmer sows into the ground, he always does it with an anticipation of the harvest. Amen. Number four, you always reap more than you sow. You reap in proportion of how much you give. This is 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. If you sow an acre of wheat, then potentially you can receive what an acre can produce. But if you sow in 100 acres of wheat, boy, you can receive what 100 acres of wheat can produce. The more you sow, the more you reap. And that's why getting saved early in life is an advantage. There was a book that was written by a man called Scott Anderson. It's called Thinking Like a Billionaire. And he based his entire book on Proverbs 23 and verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Interesting book. The author had lunch with a friend of mine. And they were having lunch. And he asked my friend this question. He said, how much is your time worth? He said, what do you mean? Well, if you work as a plumber, you know, you expect to get paid XX numbers of dollars per hour. If you're a financial consultant, you know, you expect to be paid XX numbers amount of money. If you're a lawyer, they cut your throat, right? You know. But so my friend thought about this. He said, a strange question to ask. And he just plucked the figure out. He said, well, I charge $50 an hour. And the man looked at him in the eye and says, if you don't know how to value yourself, how do you expect people to value you? Then the second question is really important. He said to my friend, how much money do you carry in your wallet? I mean, what kind of question to ask for a man you met for the first time? How much do you carry in your wallet? The man, he said, I don't carry much cash. He said, then I know that you're not a giver. He said, you have to have at least a $100 bill in your wallet. He said, a generous man is always looking for people to give. It's not how much money a man has that makes him generous. It's the mindset. I learned something from when I heard this testimony many years ago. I tell you this, from that time onwards, I carry a lot of cash in my wallet. Now, don't come and talk to me after this. I just want to say, I carry a lot of cash in my wallet because whenever I feel a prompting to give, I can give. Cast your bread upon waters and you will find after many days, give servings to 7 and also 8, for you do not know what evil will befall you on the earth. I tip every Grab driver. I'm telling you, every Grab driver that comes to my house will know that they're going to be blessed. I tip all the cleaners in the hotel. Most times, sometimes I forget, but most times I leave a card. I have a little red packet in my bag, a whole stack of red packet in my bag when I travel. And I leave a gift with them and I write a little note on it, put it on the table. And I said, thank you very much for cleaning my room over the last 3 days. I want you to know I appreciate you. And here's a little word for you. Jesus Christ loves you, Pastor Young. I just sign off. And I give them, I tip them well. I tip the porters when I pump petrol and the man comes to put petrol in my car. I tip them and I tip them well. And I want them to know because I represent a generous God. I'm sowing seed. I want to be kind to people. Amen. When you're out, sometimes try this, right? You are having lunch and you just buy somebody else lunch along the table and say, by the way, I paid your bill. Amen. There'll be a shock in their lives. I go to coffee shops, I pay for the bill, guy's bill, and you know, and I tell them, I said, look, by the way, I paid your bill, just enjoy the lunch. And they're shocked, they can't believe that anyone would do this for them, amen. So that generosity has to be the default behavior. You know, cash, have a lot of cash, so that you can give. I'm going to ask you questions afterwards. How much have you got in your wallet? If you are generous with what God has given to you, you can. If you're faithful with His money, I'm telling you, God will bless you even more. Amen. He wants His children to be conduits of blessings to the people. Amen. God makes this promise in Psalm 20. He remembers all your offerings. Amen. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. But it's in verse 6 that gives us the whole context to the giving. And it says, this in verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Paul was saying that when someone is ministering to you in the spirit, your eyes and your ears will be open. If you respond to the revelation by sowing into that anointing, you can reap an activation of the supernatural life that is in you. The word that you hear will produce a harvest. Now, the word for share, let him share in all good things, is the word koinonia. And it's the word that we use for fellowship or becoming partaker of the same spirit. It's like joining into an intimate conversation. It describes a financial partnering with the spirit. That's what Paul is talking about here. We koinonia or connect with the teacher or preacher by sowing into his or her anointing. And if we do that, we can see our own ministries explode with activation. And I think that that's a good practice that people that have fed you in your life, you know, sometimes you certain ministries that have been a great blessing to you, bless them. Amen. Bless them. Number five, you reap what you have not sown. Now, this seems like a contradiction to point number one. It's not. In John chapter 4 and verse 37 and 38, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reap. I have sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you've entered into their labors. The greatest farm in the world has ever known, is about to unleash the greatest harvest the world has ever seen. Amen. In the parable of the tares and wheat, we're told that the harvest is at the end of the age. Do you know that every generation before us have been building and been sowing and leading us to this one final generation that will bring in the greatest harvest the world has ever seen? All the sowing is going to accumulate to this one great end time harvest. They plowed, they watered, they removed the weeds, they sowed. I tell you, they did all of this so that because at the end of the age, we're going to have a harvest. My goodness, billions of people are going to come into the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with a little excerpt from Oral Roberts. Many years ago, I think 30, 40 years ago, he wrote a classic book called The Miracle of Seed Faith. How many of you read that book? It's a great book. He gave us three principles of seed faith. And I just want to reiterate some of the things he said. Number one, he said, God is your source. 2 weeks ago, I talked about Abba, your father. The word father means Abba in the Hebrew. And what it means is, it means source. All right, a father is a source. A father is a provider. And it is what makes him who he is. You understand? It's really important, right? A father is a giver, hallelujah. Provider, he's a protector. It gives me who my identity. I protect my family. I provide for my family. Amen. And that's really important. Now, every tree has a whole system of roots in the ground. You can't see it, it's there. Many hundreds of tiny little roots. But there's one root that is really the vital root. It's called the tap root. And the tap root, when it hits the source of water, just the tap root, the tree will survive if the tap root is connected to the source. And the tap root is our faith. Faith connects us to the endless supply of God's kingdom. Amen. God is your source. God is your source. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Not your bank account, not your stocks, not your job, not your cryptocurrency, not your family. Everything else is only an instrument. God has to be your true source. Amen. Number two, give that it may be given back to you. Every time you put an offering in the offering bag, every time you give something to God, don't just say, well, I'm just going to give. Pray over the gift and say, God, I'm giving you a gift and I believe that you're going to multiply this gift back to me or to the expansion of your kingdom. Use it for your glory. Amen. But multiply it and let there be a harvest. Give in faith. Give in faith. Hallelujah. Give in faith. Amen. And expect your giving to be blessed by God. Woo! And number three, finally, expect a miracle, a harvest miracle. Jesus connected our faith to a tiny seed. He says, if you have faith like a seed, you can move. Say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. Then Jesus, whoever says to this, whoever prays, believing that he will receive it, he will have what he says. Will you all stand with me, please, in the name of Jesus right now? As I want to pray and release this anointing for seed time and harvest. Oh, my friends, this is it's a simple message today. But it's loaded with truth that can help you come out of whatever financial problems that you might be in. God is wanting to bring his church into blessings and prosperity. I believe that with all my heart. The Lord rejoices in your prosperity. He rejoices in your... There's no blessing in being poor, my friends. You understand, God wants to bless you so that you can be a conduit of his blessings. That's why he blesses you. Amen. Not for us to self-aggrandize, but he wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Come on, my friends. Today, I want to pray over you that God would release a spirit of generosity over you, that you will understand the principle of seed time and harvest. Seed time, harvest. You reap what you sow. You reap where you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap after you sow. And you reap even in the places that you have not sown. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me before in the service today. He said, tell them if they sow in tears, they will also reap in joy. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord is your strength, my friend. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God wants you to sow. He wants you to be a sower. And He wants you to be a reaper of the things that you've sown as well. Come on. I'm going to pray in the next few moments that I want you to reach out by faith right now. Stand with me, my friends. Let's pray for the finances of the property that we're buying to be released. Hallelujah. Let's pray, hallelujah, for the finances to be released for the propagation of the gospel of the kingdom. Let's pray for a generous spirit here in Cornerstone. Let's pray for businesses that have been barren for a long time. You know, there are people that have done this and done that, and for, I don't know, for some reason, they've never had the breakthrough. And I tell you this, they never ask questions. Why is this happening in my life, Lord? Why am I sowing and nothing seems to be happening? It's because the ground's barren. It's because the ground's been cursed, and you need to ask God, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm praying that you'll heal this land. Hallelujah, heal this land. Oh, the Bible just tells us in Genesis 27 that Isaac sowed in the time of famine. He sowed in a time of famine, and within one cycle of harvest, he got back 100-fold. Hallelujah. Woo! 100-fold with 10,000% interest on his investments. Come on, Sharamayandaraba. My friends, God wants to bless you today. He wants you to understand this principle of seed time and harvest. Kuria Mataya Labosete. He wants you to understand, he wants you to practice this, he wants you to observe the laws of his kingdom. Hallelujah. That as long as this, as life continues on this earth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Hallelujah. Shakarababa. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you in the last 30 years of this church, we celebrate our 30th anniversary in 2025. Thank you for the 30 years that you've led this church with a cloud of fire and a pillar of fire by day and a night, pillar of cloud by night. Lord, I thank you that you watch over this community of people and that you've blessed us financially, Lord. But I know that we're going to come not in just into a time of abundance, but super abundance, Lord. God, you're going to bless your people tremendously. There are many young people here today, and I feel the Lord says, I want you to believe me for a breakthrough in your finances. The Lord wants to bless. Yesterday, my wife and I, it was my wife's 64th birthday. We went out for dinner. We were sitting beside an American couple. We started talking to them. The man was very young, but you can tell he was very wealthy. I said, how did you get your money from? Where did you get your money from? He said, from cryptocurrency. And you know, he's traveling around the world, living in the nicest hotels. Young man. And I thought to myself, you know, God wants to bless this young generation. I was just before I came up this week. I don't know why God put this in my spirit. I know he put this in my spirit. That the chess champion that just got, the young man that just been made the chess champion was an Indian boy, 18 years old. 18 years old, chess, world chess champion. And I'm thinking to myself, that's staggering, because all the world chess champion during my time were in their 60s and 70s. But God has changed the game tremendously. And he's raising a young generation right now to understand the principles of the kingdom of heaven. So Father, in Jesus' name, over these young people here in the church, Lord, release wisdom upon them, Lord, that they're going to be greatly prosperous, Lord. They're going to come into great abundance, super wealth, Lord. And they are going to know and understand this principle of seed time and harvest, seed time and harvest.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.